Begin the current daf. Maseftes Menachos daf Peihei. Begin 7 lines down at the top of the Yamut. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the opening Mishnah of our Perek, which discussed Kol Karbanos HaTzibur. All the Menachos that are brought can be brought from the Chadash, from the Yashan, from Eretz, from Chutzlarts, except there's Oimer and Shtei Halechem that they're limited, that they have to be specifically from Chadash, from the new grain, and from Eretz Yisrael. On that theme continues our Mishnah regarding the limitations of Ein Mevin. We do not bring the Oimer and the Shtei Halechem. Not either, it means not from a field that needs to be fertilized because maybe it wasn't fertilized enough and therefore all the produce is going to be weak and inferior. Or another interpretation is no, because the fertilizer actually ruins the taste and the flavor of the wheat, so therefore a fertilized field is going to make it worse. Or it cannot be from an irrigated field where you need to water it because again maybe it's not sufficient. Or neither from a field where the grain grows between trees, because the trees go and nourish a lot from the ground, and again, it's going to leave less nourishment for the grain, and therefore it's going to be weaker type of a grain. Now, v'mehevi kasha, however, if one did bring the oim and the shtei lechem from these types of fields, it is valid after the fact. Now, continues the Mishnah, ketzer du'oisa, how does one do by a field which one does bring fine flour for the oim and the shtei lechem? How does one go about doing this? So says the Mishnah as follows, nora shana rishayna. First year, when a person has that field, he plows it, and he doesn't plant it, doesn't sow that field. Ubishniya, in the second year, which actually the Gemara will ask, is this word bishniya from the first sentence, but seemingly, ubishana shniya zaira. In the second year, then it's planted, which ultimately makes it that it's plowed two times, because before one plants, one plows. So it's plowed 1 year and left fallow. Second year, one plows it again and plants it. Specifically, when does he plant it? Kaim le Pesach Shiv Miyim. 70 days before Pesach, as the Gemara will explain why specifically then. If someone does like this, he'll have a lot of fine flour coming from that field, which he could use for the Oim and the Shtei Lechem. Now, Ketzed Baidik. How does one inspect the fine flour to see if it was sifted appropriately, as we had learned in the earlier Mishnah, regarding how they had gone from the finest to the coarsest types of sieves, where there were 13 different sieves, to get out the dust type, and also to get out the thick pieces, that of the bran. So how does one inspect it to make sure it was sifted appropriately? So HaGizber Machnes Yad L'Techen, because he goes to the flour, which was brought for the Oim Shtei Lechem, this treasurer, the one who's in charge of the hektish items, and he sticks his hand inside of it. If all above, when he lifts up with his hand into the flour, he comes up with avak, which is the fine flour dust, which is inferior, that's psula achi nefena. It's going to be invalid until they sift it again to get out all that dust, which is not good flour. The mislia psula, and if it's wormy, then it's invalid. Now the Mishnah had said, as we had quoted, ketzer doisa, how does one go about having a field that will be sown for the grain for the oim and the shtei lechem? So it said, nourish on the Rishayna, so you plow it the first year and you leave it, etc. And then the second year, one goes and plants it. Now, Ibayilu, we had alluded to in the reading of the Mishnah, Heichikama, what is the Mishnah saying? And that is, do we say, as we had read it, nourish on the Rishayna? So the first year, you plow it. Vishniya, nara bezaira. Now, which the word Vishniya could be read together with the first part, and that's the Gemara's question. Is it, and the second year also? So is it nourish on the Rishayna? Ubishanashniya, and in the second year, but what? In the second year, you naravizar, you plow it again, and then you plant it? I don't know. Or maybe narishanarishaina, and this is actually how we had read it. You plow it in the first year. Vishniya zaira, balainar. In the second year is when you plant it without plowing it again in the beginning of the year. Meaning, in the beginning of the year, you're not going to plow it again. Of course, besides the plowing that one does at the time of the planting, then the person always plows. But what we mean to say is, like, just like in the first year, you plow just for the sake of plowing to leave it fallow. Do you do that again the second year? In the beginning of the year, you plow it again, and then by Pesach time, you'll ultimately plow it again before you're planting, but that we're not considering in the sense of leaving it fallow. Or, no, do you plow it in the first year? And the second year, you're not going to plow it again at the beginning of the year. You'll just plow it right before you plant it. Says the Gemara Tashma. It's being a riot. The time went in the Braisa. Amar Biesi, he says, also the wheat that grows in these places that are called Karzayim and Kfar Achim, had it been that they were near these, if these fields would have been, and these places would have been near Yerushalayim, which the significance of being near Yerushalayim is that that would be in the mountains, because like it says, Yerushalayim Har Masavala, Yerushalayim has mountains surrounding it. And if these would grow in the mountains, that's where the sun really beats down and makes the grain high quality, like it says, "Umimegid tivur shemesh," that where the sun shines, that's where the best produce is. So had these places been near Yerushalayim, hayimavin mehen, then we actually would bring the Yomim Nishtei Lechem from these places, because they're, as we're going to shortly quote, they're in the south, and the south is actually where you get the best grain, but it's just because it wasn't near Yerushalayim, and therefore it wasn't on the mountains, and that's why, or another interpretation actually is, since not the Yerushalayim, we only get the Yomim Nishtei Lechem, but that which is near Yerushalayim, simply because of, as we said in Perek Yerushalayim, Im Avir Nal Mitzvahs. If we can get grain here, we're not going to bypass a mitzvah that you could do right here and try to get them somewhere further away. But again, if they would have been near Yerushalayim, we would have brought the Yomim Nishtei Lechem from them. Why? Because they have the qualities that are the other variables that are required. Because you don't bring the barley offering of the Yomim, Elim Asadis Hamadjuramas. Only from the fields that are in the south, which these fields were. So it has to be in the south of Eretz Yisrael. The reason for that is because the sun, throughout the entire winter, goes, and the majority of the day, it's in the south. It starts on the southeast and basically stays in the south and then sets in the southwest. And these fields are in the south. Additionally, the Omer only comes from Bahamanu Naris Lekach. Those, like the word Niru, Lechem Nir, it refers to plowing. Only those fields that were plowed for the utility of being for the Omer. Now, why do we want those in the south? Shebehen Chama Zerachas, because that's where, like we said, the sun shines. Umehen Chama Shekas, and that's actually where, when the sun is setting, it's also shining over there. Because as the Pasuk tells us, Hailech al Darim, that in the Tkufa of Tevis throughout the winter months, that's the, as we said, the sun comes up in the southeast and then sets in the southwest. Now from that point onward, then actually the sun, when it's rising in the east, moves further away from the south. But still the pillar of the sun is still shining down on the south, and the whole entire day it's moving towards the south and then sets, and therefore it really ripens and really sweetens the grain in the south, and therefore the Yomim Nishtei Lechem we want from the southern fields, and they were plowed specifically for it. Now, additionally, we wanted to be in the mountains or near Yerushalayim. These places were not near Yerushalayim, and therefore we didn't bring from there. Now, says the Braisa Ketzer Daisa, as we said in the Mishnah, how does one do it? And this is where the primary proof we're going to bring from is not Roshana Rishayna. But the field, you can't just do the first year and bring it for the Yomim Nishtei Lechem. First year, you have to plow it and leave it fallow, leave it unplanted. Vishniya Chayrish Vishayna, this is where the proof is going to be. In the second year, what do you do? You plow and you repeat it. So you see, you're going to do a second plowing. And then, then you planted 70 days before Pesach. Now, why is that reason? So that's the Bryce is clarifying the halacha of the Mishnah. Kadesh te smucha lechama. Because we want it to be near the sun, meaning near the really strong point of the sun. Because when the sun starts moving towards the north in the summer months, which is right before Pesach, instead of planting it in deep into the winter, that's when the sun actually starts getting stronger. And therefore, they didn't plant in the beginning of the Tekufa, but rather they waited till right before Pesach, which then the sun starts getting stronger. But you can't do right before, because it has to still grow and by Pesach time be ripe. So 70 days before Pesach, when it's really going to get a lot of good sun, that's when they would plant it. And then the stalk would grow a measurement of a zeres. B'shibelis in the ear, which is the top of the stalk, which is where the seeds are, where the kernels are, that actually would grow zeresayim, double that amount. And then b'kaitzer, they would harvest, they would reap, u'ma'amr, and would gather, b'dash, and thresh. B'zera, they would winnow, which means throw in the wind and let the kernels separate from the chaff. U'bar, they would select, v'techen, and grind, u'marakit, and sift. Well, maybe it's like Gizban, going through the whole procedure, they had finally the fine flour. They would bring it to the treasure of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gizban machnas yad l'teicha, and the treasure would stick his hand inside of it. Im also ba'avak, if he would come up with dust, which is inferior, Oymer l'chazoy b'nafa eisashni, he would say, go ahead and sift it a second time. Now, Mishrim ibn Nas number, he said that actually, Gizber sachyo de shemen, when the treasurer would do this inspection, he would actually smear his hand with oil, u'machnas l'teicha, and then stick his hand in, until he would take out all the dust of the flour, because that's the best way of inspecting, because if there's any dust, it's going to stick to the oil on his hand. Now, but one thing says the Gemara, Ketani Minas, one thing we learned in this Braisa, it says clearly, is Chayrish Vishayna, that in the second year, you plow and you repeat it, so obviously in the second year, which the Braisa is saying the same halacha as the Mishnah, obviously that when our Mishnah says that in the first year you plow, and like we said, Ubishana Shnia, you have to read it that you plow in the first year and the second year, and then you plant. But you see clearly that you do repeat the plowing and leaving a fallow in the beginning of the year, in the second year, as you do in the first year. However, that, the Gemara asked back, but according to your reasoning that you're resolving the halacha of the Mishnah from this brisa, but then you have a difficulty, because masnitin lekatani shayna, the Mishnah doesn't say like the words of the brisa that you repeat. But as we continue to come at Beis, brisa katani shayna, the brisa says that you do repeat it, which sounds like that you plow a second time, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. So yeah, you want to bring proof in the brisa, but it would seem like to the contrary, from the fact the Mishnah doesn't say that, the Mishnah disagrees. Says the Gemara, no, halakash, that's not a difficulty. Because Khan, our Mishnah is talking about ba'avuda. It's talking about when it was already cultivated, it was already worked on the first year. That's where, yes, the second year, you're not going to plow again. Khan, the Bryce is talking about b'she'en avuda, when you didn't plow it in the first year. That's when you're going to plow it in the second year. So therefore, it's not a contradiction, and that actually answers our question. But the Gemara says, my havala, what was the conclusion? Now, the reason why the Gemara is asking is because the Gemara wants to know, is our answer that we're giving, that you don't have to repeat a second time, and that's because that's how we resolve the contradiction of the Mishnah Brisa, is that a good answer? Was that a good resolution? Or was that contrived? Was that forced? Says the Gemara, Tashma, it's being a raya, that no, like we had said, that you only have to plow it in the first year, you don't have to plow in the second year. The Brisa is only plowing in the second year because it wasn't plowed in the first year. It's kind of like learning the Brisa. The Brisa says, what they would do is, nir chetzia v'zireh chetzia. So, they in the first year, so they would plow the whole field, but then they would plant half of it, they wouldn't leave half of it fallow, they would plant half of it, but leave the other half just plowed. So, during the second year, nir chetzia v'zireh chetzia, they would plow the whole field, they would then plant the half that last year was not planted, and then they would leave fallow the half that was planted last year. And this is what they would do every single year. They would plant the part that last year was left fallow. So obviously you see that you only have to leave it flat, fallow, unplanted, one time. Because the next year, whatever was fallow last year, was planted, was not left fallow from the beginning of the year. And therefore that answers our question that you see you only plow it in the first year, you don't have to plow it, which is in the beginning of the year, besides when you plow it right before the planting, you don't have to do it a second time in the second year. Now the question is, why does the Brisa say to do it this way? Why don't they say you just plant the whole thing the first year and then again the next year? Because it's not the best way, and there's therefore people, they don't plant their whole field year after year because that weakens the fields. Therefore, rather what they do, like the Brisa says, you plant half every year, the other half, therefore that increases the productivity of the fields. But one thing you see, a proof that you don't have to plow it and leave it fallow the second year too. Now, Amr B'Yechon says, continuing on these halachas, says, we don't bring the Omer, the barley offering of the 16th of Nisan, Elim and Asadis Hamadiramish of Eretz Yisrael, like we said before, only the fields that are in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Shebehen Chamas Rechas, guess where the sun always shines down on. Umehen Chamas Rechas, and that's where it sets, as we said, in the south, in the winter months, it's old in the south. Tamehocha, similar in the Brais, Abisholim, he says, Omer Hayabah, me Bikas Beis Makla. The Omer would be brought from this place, the valley of Beis Makla. Kibaz Gimel Soin Haisa. This field was a measurement of 3 saw. Besadim Mudremes Haisa. And there was a field in the south. Uva Chamazarachas, and that's where the sun would shine. Umemena Chamashakas, and that's where the sun would set. And therefore, Nirchetzi Bezerechetzi, they would plow half and plant the other half. And then the next year, the opposite, Nirchetzi Bezerechetzi, the other half, which where they had planted last year, was this year left fallow. And the last year that was not planted was planted this year. Now, Rav Chilki Bar Tuvi, continuing on this theme, Havali Karna Da'ari, he had a small piece of land, a corner property, which was in the south, in the Dharm, and he did this, Nir Chetzi B'Zor Chetzi, he plowed half and planted the other half, and the next year, Nir Chetzi B'Zor Chetzi, he then plowed the other half and planted the other half, V'Avdal Chatre, and he made a ratio of 2 to 1 of what it normally produces, U'masman Lehu L'Chiti L'Smid, and he sold the flour, he sold his wheat for fine flour to sell like what they used for the menachis, which was not so easily found, but because he did this, and he was in the south, and he did the nir chetzia v'zirei chetzia, he came up with such high quality and quantity of flour. Now the Mishnah had said, v'mitliya psula, if it was wormy, it's invalid. Now, Tanna Rabbanan, in the Braisa, it says it differently. It says, seilas shetliya ruba psula. Regarding the fine flour, that if the majority of it was wormy, then it's invalid. Additionally, it says the Brisa of Chitin Shesli Ruban Psulas, regarding the wheat, not the flour, just the kernels, if the majority of them got wormy, they're invalid. Now, Bay Rabbi Yirmi asked, Berev Chita? What does it mean when you're talking about the Chitin that the majority became wormy? Is it the majority of each kernel became wormy that invalidates it? Ibrahim saw, or we're talking about in the measurement of all the wheat, if the majority of that measurement became wormy, even if there are some whole kernels that were not wormy at all, will also be invalidated. Take a look, it's not clear. What does it mean when we say Rav Chita? Is it of each kernel, or is it of the whole mass of all those kernels? If the majority of that measurement became wormy, they're all going to be invalidated. Now, Bai Rabbi has a question related to this halacha. Hikdashin, let's say someone sanctifies these wormy wheat, and he says this is going to be sanctified for the Karban Omer, for the Shtei Halacha. Maushe Yilka Alein Mishum Ba'amum, does he get lashes for sanctifying a blemished carbon? Because the Gemara says in the first Perek of Masechtas Temura that someone sanctifies a blemished animal to the Mizbeach, he violates five negative prohibitions. So what's the halacha over here? As the Gemara explains, keeping the puzzle, do we say since these are invalid kibal mumdami, it's like a blemished carbon. That's animals, and this is wheat. Oidimah, maybe no, ain't ba mum, but behemah, the halacha of a blemish is only by an animal and not by wheat, not by grain sacrifices. Take a little stand, it's not clear what the halacha is. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Nanhas benund over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Midos." Says, "Kol etz shenimtza by talas, any wood that was found to be wormy, paslagam mizbeach, it's invalid to be brought to be used for the firewood on the mizbeach." Now, Amashmul, he qualifies and says, "But leishanu elalach, we only learned this if, let's say, the wood that became wormy is moist, where there's no way to rectify it because you can't scrape off the worminess if the whole wood is moist. It gets into the essence of the whole wood. Avo yavish, but if it's dry." So then, Gairi Vakasha, you could just scrape off that part that's wormy and the rest of the wood is valid. Now, Bai Rava, so Rava has the same question on this halacha of the wood. Higdishri, what's the halacha if someone sanctifies the wormy wood? Maushi Yilka Lav Mishum Bamum, does he get lashes for sanctifying something that's blemished? Do we say Kivin the Apostle, since it's invalid, Kibal Bum Dami, so it's like a blemish, and therefore one violates the Easter of being Makdish Bamum? Adilma Ein Bamum, El Bibahim, or maybe that the invalidation, the psul, the Isser, is only by a blemished animal and not by wood. Take a little stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be by wood. Now, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos regarding, we were talking about what's the choicest for the flour part of the menachas. Now, besides the flour, there's also other ingredients that go in, specifically oil. So on that theme, the next Mishnah continues that Tekoya, which is a place in Eretz Yisrael, Alfa Lashem was the best to get the oil to use for the flour. Now, Abba Sholem, he says, Shnila, second best, is Regev Be'iva Yarden, Regev, which was in the Transjordan, over the Jordan River. Now, Kol Aretz HaSoyik shares, all the lands of Eretz Yisrael were valid, El Mekano Yimvin, but this is where they would bring it from, because this is where you could get the best. Now, additionally, as we said regarding the flour, Emavim, we don't bring Lemon Besazvalim, not from an orchard which is fertilized, because that makes the olives and the olive oil disgusting. Lemon Bes, because fertilizer is from disgusting things. Lemon Besazvalim, neither from a field that has to be irrigated, because again, maybe you're not going to give it enough what it needs. Lemon Mashinizim, and not if you have that between the olive trees, you have grains that are growing, which weakens the olive trees, and therefore the oil that comes out is not going to be such high quality. Now, Bemhevi Kasha, but if one brings from these fields, it's going to be valid. Now, Emavin Anfakten, which the Gemara can explain what that is, you can't bring that for the shaman. Bemhevi Kasha, but if one brings it, it's going to be valid. Now, Emavin Min HaGargrin Shanishu B'mayin, you can't bring from those olives that were plucked, that were then soaked in water, because the water ruins the oil. V'lemin ha'kvashim, not from these olives that were pickled. V'lemin ha'shlukim, not from those that were boiled. V'mehevi pasul, if one brings from these types of olives, the oil, they're actually going to be invalid. Now, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Shmuel Beis that relates directly to the halacha that opens up our Mishnah. But in the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, V'yishlach Yoyev Tekoya. Yoyev sent towards Tekoya. V'yikach Misham Isha Chacham, and he took from there a wise woman. So on that, as the Gemara Mishnah Tekoya, why did he send to get a wise woman specifically from Tekoya? So Rabbi Yechon says, "Mitech Shregil and Beshemen Zayis." Since they were so accustomed in olive oil, like we said, that that's where they had the best oil. So Chachma Mitzuy Ben. Therefore, there was wisdom that was more found by those type of people, because olive oil opens up the heart; it expands a person's understanding, and that's why he wanted to get a wise woman specifically from Tekoya. Like we said in the Mishnah, Tekoya is Alfa Lashemen. Continuing this theme about the abundance of oil in Eretz Yisrael, Tanur Bamunna Braisa. Pasuk in Devarim says, V'tovel b'shemen ragli, that he dips his foot into oil. That's how much an abundance of oil they have, that they'll use it for dipping their feet in. Says the Braisa, Zechel Kishal Asher, this refers to the portion of the tribe of Asher in Eretz Yisrael, Shemayshich Shemen Kemayin, that he draws oil like from a spring. That's how much oil they had over there. And Amr, they said as follows. Pamachas, one time, Nitzruchu lehen anshei Ludkia b'shemen. The people from Ludkia needed oil. So mina lehem pomustus echad. So they appointed for them a non-Jewish agent. And Amr, they said to him, Leich v'havi lanu shemen b'meir ribu. Go bring for us 1,000,000 mana, which is a certain measurement, of oil for us. So halach l'Yerushalayim, he went to Yerushalayim. Amr, they said to him, Leich l'tzur, go to Tzur. Halach l'tzur. So he went to Tzur. Amr, leich l'gush chalav. They said, go to this place, Gush Chalav, which was a name of a place in the portion of Asher. So halach l'gush chalav, he went to Gush Chalav. Amr loy, they said to him, leich itzel pleini l'sad halaz, go to that person in that field. U'matzei shahaya, and he found that that Jew was Isaac. He was hoeing, he was digging, tachas esav, in a circle around his olive trees. So Amr loy, he said to him, yesh l'cha shemeh b'meir ribuy shanitzach, do you have oil for 1,000,000 measurements of mana that I need? So Amr loy, he said to him, look, hamtunli at shesai malachti, wait till I finish my work. So him to not shesai malachti, he waited till he finished his work. La'achar shesai malachti, after he finished his work, hifshul kelev la'chayr, so that person, that Jew, went and threw his working tools over his back. Vayimisakal, and he was kicking the stones from the field that were in his way. Ubobadech, and he was walking and he was going on his path on his way home. Now, because of that, this agent thought, this guy's a pauper. Like, he takes his tools, puts it on his back, and he's kicking the stones out of the road. So Amalai said to him, Yesh lo Hashem b'mei ribu? He says, do you really have oil for 1,000,000? As he said to himself, K'medumani, it appears to me, Shasachik sachiku b'yehudim, that the Jews are making a mockery out of me. This guy looks like a pauper. He has 1,000,000 mana of oil for me? Now, Kimin Shagila Ira, but once this man reached the city, Haitzile Shevchase Kumkumum Shalchamen, his maidservant brought out for him a small pot of warm water. Barachetz Bayod Baragum, and he washed his hands and his feet. Then Haitzile Safal Shazav Malay Shemen, she brought out for him a pitcher of gold that was filled with oil. But Tovah Bayod Baragum, and he dipped his hands and his feet into it. The Kaim Mashanim, to fulfill what it says in the Pasuk regarding his people, the tribe of Asher, but Tovah B'Shem Ragla, that they dipped their feet into oil. Now, la'achar sha'ach l'b'shas, after they ate and they drank, madu le'shemen b'mei riba, he measured off him oil in a 1,000,000 of the measurements of a mana. So the man said to him, klumat tzarch li'ezer, do you need any more? So Amalai said to the Jew, hen, yes, elisha ain't li dam, but I don't have money for more. So Amalai says, don't worry, imata reitz likach kach, if you want to take, v'ani elichim chava etel damav, I'll come with you to where you live, and I'll collect the money from you there. So Madulay Shemin Bishmaina Asaribi. So he measured out for him another oil of 180,000. So Amr, they said, Lohinich Isaish, that man didn't leave. Loy sus, no horse, lay parrot, no mule, blay gummel, no camel, blay chamar, no donkey, but Eretz Yisrael, in the whole land of Israel, Shalai Sakhari, that he didn't hire because he had to take out all that oil to Ludkia. Now Kimin Shagil Ira, once this man, the agent, reached his city, so Yatsi Anshi Ira Likalsa, the men of his city came out to praise him. Look what he brought back for them. So Amalami said to them, Loy li kalsuni, don't praise me. El lazesh ba'imi, rather for this man who's coming with me, shemad li shemad b'mei ribi, he measured out for me 1,000,000 mana of oil, v'ari neisha bi b'shmein asariba, and he still, I owe him a credit of 180,000 more. L'kayim mashenema, and says the Gemara, this story illustrates what it says the Pasuk in Mishlei. Yesh, Miss Asher, there are people that give the impression that they're wealthy. Venkal, they don't have anything. But Misreshish, there are people that look like paupers, like this guy who was hoeing under his olive tree, he was kicking stones out of the way, and behind Rav, but really they have a whole amount of wealth, like this person who was so wealthy, as we see, the amount of oil that there was, specifically as the Gemara tells us, in the tribe of Asher.